Khan, Khan. Shem Shabalia. It's very apropos, I understand it's not going to necessarily be every year, but it's very apropos to have a Yahrzeit Suda on a Motzei Shabbos. We also have to now work on our Aliyas HaNeshama. We had it in Neshama Yisera over Shabbos that was granted to us, and it just went back up to heaven. And that's what the Mlava Malka is about. It's about the keeping a connection and and trying to hold on to the Madrega that it gave us, even though it departed. The issue I want to discuss, really two issues, is Torah and Shabbos. You know, even though in last week's parsha, Am Yisrael was given the mitzvah of Shabbos in Morah, we were commanded again in this week's parsha, one of the the Big Ten, by the Aseres Hadibros. And we have to understand what perhaps what shifted, the nature of Shabbos before Matan Torah, and now what Shabbos is when it's a part of Matan Torah. The connection deepens when you are aware of the Gemara and Shabbos stuff, Pei Zayin, that talks about there's a Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabban. What was the date of Matan Torah back then? Was the Torah actually given on Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, right? The 6th of Sivan, what was it like back then? Even though everyone agrees, we would keep Shavuos on the 6th day of Sivan, or whenever his 50 days are up after the Omer. But what was the date that year? And the Gemara says something very interesting. The Kuli Yama B'Shabbos Nitar Yisrael, even though they have a machlokas what the day was, there's no machlokas that the day of the week had to have been Shabbos. So of course, whether Shabbos came out on the 6th of Sivan, but the Kuli Yama, everyone agrees that the Torah was given on a Shabbos, which shows that there's a sometimes very deep connection between the two. And the truth is, Shabbos morning tefillah, Yismach Moshe Matnas Chokol, Vomdo Fenechal Har Sinai, Ushnei Luchos HaNerdot, the whole Shacharis of Shabbos refers to Matan Torah. So there's got to be a real intrinsic connection. And we will explore that in a few brief words and talk about how we have to use these two mitzvahs for our Aliyas HaNeshama, even here in this world. Interesting thing about Torah, right? The pasuk says, "Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or." For a mitzvah is a candle, and Torah is light. And what is Torah? In Aramit, in Aramaic, oraita, or, right, or. And we find an interesting verb when we want to encourage Baruch Hu to help us understand Torah. We ask, "V'ha'er einenu b'sarasecha," enlighten our eyes in your Torah. We don't say, "Havinenu." Right, make us understand. Right, or chakmenu. Right, we say ha'er einenu b'sarasecha. Right, that is the verb to understand Torah. You have light in the eyes, and that's what David HaMelech also says in Tehillim: Gal einai v'abita nifas tarasecha. Open my eyes, and I should see the wonders of your Torah. Right, as if going from non-understanding to Torah of understanding of Torah is going from as if being blind to suddenly being sighted. to try to understand this, I want to lay out a question. This question is laid out in the in Shalos Chuvas Imre Bina by the Kala Sharov. He asked the following question. It's a question that should really bother any thinking person. Everyone's heard of the Yisachar Zvulun partnership, right? You're that one, like, you support the guy in learning, it's like you learned, right? So who's the fool who actually wants to sit and learn? Right. Now, work it out. Right, if you're supporting someone is as if you're doing his learning. So if you're a very rich guy, you could support more than one guy. Right? If you're very rich, you could support hundreds. So if you would want to forego that and do your own learning, you're just one guy. So if you learn 18 hours a day, so you did 18 hours a day. But if you support 100 people learning and they all learned 18 hours a day, why do you want to be the guy who learns? You should want to be the guy who supports, because you could, as it were, clone yourself many times over, right? And do double time, triple time. Right? So, and we would like to believe, right, that it'd be more virtuous if you'd be the Yisachar as opposed to the Zvulun. But why should you? Like, you understand? It's a serious question. So everyone should just rather want to be rich and find some suckers who can't be rich, and they'll be the ones to learn, and all their learning goes to me. And as opposed to if I do the learning myself, I'm just one guy. So I can't put in more than 24 hours a day. What's the answer to that question? Right, that's a question that Kal Sharov asked in the Tshuva. So to understand his answer, I want to preface, we'll get back to his answer, but to appreciate what he means to say, I want to raise another question. There's a Gemara we find a few places in Shas. Yesh kone olamo b'shachas. A few cases that happened in Shas that a person in one moment acquired his olam haba. Whether it was Elazar ben Dordaya, whether it was that Roman centurion, or all different, a few different cases that we find in that Shas. In one great moment, they got their whole olam haba. What nice take other people like a whole lifetime, and maybe even after a whole lifetime, maybe not. So in more than one place, there's a response from Rebbe, Rabbeinu Kosh, Bacha Rebbe, right? When he said, Yesh kolam l'shachas, he broke down crying. One person could acquire your life in one moment, right? And some people don't even acquire it after many years. Why was he crying when he said that, when he made that observation of the story? He should have been happy. It's an amazing opportunity that a person in one instant could get olam haba. Why cry? What's the crying about? So there's a Chidush HaRim on this, and before we get to Chidush HaRim's answer that's written in the Chidush HaRim, I want to say over what Hasidim have passed on orally. There's like an oral tradition behind this, the answer that the Chidush HaRim gives to explain this statement. And the story goes like this, that when the Chidush HaRim was a younger man, learning by Rav Simcha Bunim of Prashischa, so he had no money. This is, his father-in-law was a big misnagid. He didn't like that he was hanging out with the Hasidim. They cut him off financially, and he wanted to go to Prashischa for Rosh Hashanah. Right? He had no funds to do so. So with whatever coins he went to the marketplace. And he saw a very, very grub, coarse type of wagon driver, Jewish wagon driver. He said, listen, this is all I got. Take me to Prashischa. He laughed. Said, oh, look, I'll take you as far as like the next town. That's, what the fare you paid. But I can't have you taking up space in the coach because, I could fill up with passengers that take a much longer journey. You go in the trunk, right? And as it was, he shoved the Chidush HaRim in the trunk, as they rode. And then they went to the next town. The coach said, at least we'll get the journey started. All right, they got to the next town. Passengers, get off. Says, listen, take me a little bit further. What do you care? You're going anyway for the other passengers. Yeah, fine, but you stay in the trunk. All right, fine. Can't argue it. So that's Zemashiesh, as we say. That's what there is. All right, goes to the next town. Eventually, all the passengers got off at their destinations. Wagon's empty. So look, buddy, it's another 10 kilometers, to Prashischa. And Rosh Hashanah is coming. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, you got to daven also. You got to get to a town, to find a minion, you're going to spend Rosh Hashanah on the roads? Come on, man. Let's just go to Prashischa together. You know what? I'll do it. Right? Why not? Right? So it made it into a challenge. I decided to get this kid to his Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah and Prashischa. And he doesn't spare the horses, beats the horses mercilessly, and the horses do double time, and they get into Prashischa just moments before, lichbenchen, before you light candles. All right, so, he can't believe how he got conned into this, so he kicked the Chidush HaRim off the wagon, with a bunch of, expletives, to follow. I better not see you. Next time I see you, I kill you. Right? I can't believe you conned me into this. Now I'm in a strange town for Rosh Hashanah. All right, so then he looks for an inn. As he pulls up to an inn, just minutes before Shkia, he watches his horse drop dead, and the whole wagon collapse. Like this kid who conned him into going to Prashischa ruined his whole life. That is his rickety wagon and his horse, that was his whole parnasa. Right? All gone. Right? In his coarse mind, what does he do? He just goes up and says, give me a room. Right? What's with the bill? Don't worry about the bill. He takes the key to the room. He goes into the room. Hangs himself, commits suicide. Right then, his whole life was over. In his coarse and undeveloped mind, after his horse and buggy fell apart, he's got nothing left. Right. So, as the story goes, the Chidush HaRim had a vision that night. Chidush HaRim fell asleep, in the base medrash, and he's dreaming. and he sees the neshama of this wagon driver go up to heaven. And, as everyone is judged at the time of their death, right, Rosh Hashanah, Leil Rosh Hashanah is no exception. All right, so the Sutton, the prosecutor, gets his file. And he looks at the file. He's laughing. All right, this is like the easiest case he had since he had to prosecute Haman. Right, so he says, read. Right, so he says, okay, this guy, this bum, all right, from a young age, he didn't go to cheder, and he was disrespectful to his parents, the whole thing, and he was a thief, and he had a mouth like a toilet, and to top it all off, he committed suicide just as Rosh Hashanah came in. Place calls, I demand from the Beis Din Shamala eternal damnation. No? And as the story goes, all of a sudden the court, corridor, right, the doors of the Beis Din Shamala bust open, and a horse and buggy come in and get on the scales. Right? So, he has the schus that he got the Kiddush Yerim to his Rebbe in time for Rosh Hashanah. Now, it's not like the scales tipped the other way. This guy had a heavy load of, on one side. But the Beis Din Shamala says, you know what? You came here at an Eis Ratzon. You came here at a time of divine grace. You decide your fate. That's what he told the wagon driver. Right? You know what? You get to decide what you think you deserve. And the Sutton is going crazy. This is totally unreasonable. Right? This is not justice. Well, he decides where he goes. That's not. So the Beis Din Shamala is Gezer Shtika. They decree silence on the Sutton. He's not allowed to speak. Right? And he starts, this is really not right. This is supposed to be the Olam HaEmes, the world of truth. This guy is scum. We got to put him away. They decree silence. He can't speak. And so then they turn back to him and say, all right, let's resume. You choose where you go. He says, really? Yeah, absolutely. No joke. Really? For sure. Choose. Say, you know what? My whole life, I drove that beat up wagon and that emaciated horse. This is no excuse of a horse. Right? And I saw these other wagon drivers. They're dressed in fancy suits. And they have coachmen, and they have these fancy carriages with padded seats and all, right? And six white horses, right? I want that. I want that. I want to, drive a cart like that. And the Sutton's laughing. Oh, this was worth it. You guys are the best. You jerk. Right? You could have had Olam Haba. You could have asked to be in the Yeshiva of the Ram. You could have asked to be in the Mechitza of Rabbi Akiva. And this is what you took for yourself. Oh, this was worth it. I haven't had so much fun ever. Right? And that's what the Hasidim say, right? Is what the Chiyushrim, from there learned to this vision, gave him his pshat. And why Bacha Rabbi, Yesh Kono B'Shoachas. The function of Torah is not just, it's not just a thing that you do, right, because we have a mandate to learn. Torah, opens your mind, right, it opens your eyes. This person who never developed his mind and eyes, to him the ultimate pleasure is to ride in a cart pulled by six white horses. Right, he didn't have bigger hasavas, right, he didn't have bigger ideas. That to him was the ultimate pleasure. When you're kona olam b'shachas, you do some magnanimous deed, some act of mesiras nefesh that warrants olam haba, but you never did anything to build up your mind and your heart, right? So even if they would put you in a dimension of divine light, the nanim meziv hashchina, you wouldn't be able to appreciate it. It would be lost on you. You don't have eyes that were ever built up to be able to see it. Right? You hear the music of the malachi asharis, and it's on a frequency that you can't hear, and because you never developed your mind and heart. And that's the tragedy. That's why Bacha Rebbe, when you're Bekona alone, B'Shoachas, you never prepare for it, and you never built up for it. You know, it gets something you can't appreciate. So when this guy was given the choice, he wants to be in a world of illusion, that's where he is, Adayom Hazeh, in a world of illusion, driving a cart and with ponies that don't exist, because right? That's what he thought was pleasure, because he never built his mind. Right? And that's what the Kal Sharav says, right? The Imre Bina says, it's true. If you support a guy in learning, right, you get credited to your account as if you spent that time in the Beis Medrash, as if you were doing mitzvahs with your arms and legs. But if you didn't do your own learning, you never developed your mind, and you never developed your senses, you never purified them to be able to appreciate the Olam HaBa you're going to get. Right? So sure, you build up merit, right? But if you didn't do your own learning, you are blind. You are blind to spirituality, to the spiritual pleasure. You don't have the instruments. You don't have the wherewithal to touch it and to appreciate it. Right? And that's why the Torah, you know, doesn't just give us information. Torah enlightens our eyes. It's the difference between I describe to you a room, right? I'll describe to you on paper what a room looks like, versus actually seeing it. Right? Versus actually seeing it. When we learn Torah, we're not just getting information. The Torah actually builds our minds. It actually opens our eyes. It opens our ears. And we become sensitive. We see reality differently. And more than that, we build up the instruments to appreciate and observe and absorb elokus. That's why Torah is called light. It's not just information. It's the difference between being blind and seeing. Right? And that's what we have to do with our own limudat Torah. And we have to, you know, whenever, you know, it has to be at least one time during the week when a person, you know, goes into his learning with no distractions, because you're going with distractions, you're not really giving yourself over. Zero distractions, the phone is off, everything, all your problems are off your mind, and you totally connect. It's a different type of learning. It's not the learning of absorbing information. It's the learning of having your b'ha'er einenu, gal einai, seeing things differently, having your eyes enlightened. Now, the truth is that Shabbos is the same thing. Right, Shabbos, what Torah is in space, the Sforim says what Shabbos is in time. Right, the amazing thing about Shabbos, you know, we say on Leil Shabbos, Vinuchu Vo. Shabbos day, Vinuchu Bo. Right, Shabbos afternoon, Vinuchu Bom. Right, what's Bo Bom? Right, so whatever, an interesting anecdote from Mayor Shapiro of Lublin, right, who visited America like in the 1920s on a fundraising campaign to build his yeshiva, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He said, you know, we answer this up with Kabbalah, you know, why, ba, bo, bum, we answer all this stuff with Kabbalah and Hasidus, and, you know, in America, they have the Pashup Shot. They have the Pashup Shot. They have the real Pashup Shot understanding of this, right? It's Friday afternoon, right, it's getting late, right? You know, the man and wife, you know, the immigrants, they're in their home, they're in their shop, right? The woman goes home to light Shabbos candles, right? But he stays in the shop. It's v'yenuchu ba, right? Feminine, because she's resting, right? He's working, right? All right, the next morning, right? The situation reverses itself. She makes him get up and go to shul, right? And she opens the shop. V'yenuchu ba, right? All right, he's resting, right? She's working, right? But Saturday night in those days, you know, when it says stores close early, right? Saturday afternoon, right? So then they have shal shudas together. Finally, it's v'yenuchu bam, right? Right. But the idea, right? Right. Baruch Hashem, American Jewry has progressed much from there. Right. But to understand, you know, the three different phases of the Shabbos and what it's supposed to mean to us, and things that are described in the Sforim. I mean, let me just preface: the Maharal had a brother, Rav Asher of Regensburg, that, you know, asked the following kasha. He asked the following kasha. Everyone knows the famous Gemara. There's two shittas, the Bavli and Shami. You get lost. You forget what day is Shabbos. All right, so there's two shittas of the Bavli and Shami, how to cope with the dilemma of not remembering which day is Shabbos. So Rav Asher Regensburg in the Sefer HaZikaron asked the kasha this. I don't understand what the Gemara is talking about. Shabbos comes, you feel it. What's the problem? Right? That's his kasha. Right? And it's only 500 years ago. Right? And his answer is, I see from the Gemara is teaching us that it's possible not to feel Shabbos. And that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That's possible not to feel Shabbos. That to him is a Chiddush. We're bigger than him, because for us it's not even a Chiddush. So we're smarter than he is. He needed the Gemara to teach him that. That it's possible to not feel Shabbos. You think about the Shabbos, that, you know, Akharish Baruch Hu says, you know, back in Parshas Bereishis when he invented Shabbos, Vayachal came by Yom HaShvi. He finished on the seventh day. Okay, but then there's something else. Vayishbos by Yom HaShvi. It ceased. Then, Vayachal came by Yom HaShvi, and he added blessing. Three phases. Vayachal, Vayishbos, Vayivorech. So I'm saying, Vayichal, I get it. He finished. And it's his day of rest. He's done. But there's something else. Vayishbos. Right? It ceased. What ceased? He finished. What's Vayishbos? You know, like, you know, we find the term Shvita also and by Bir Chametz. Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbitu Sa'or Mi Batechem. Burn the Chametz. It's called Tashbitu. What did he burn up? It's Vayishbos. Right. So the Pshat is like this, right? You know, drawing on what it says in the Maharal and other Sforim, you know, Shabbos is the center. You know, we have a six-day week, so you know, in the three-dimensional world that God created in 6 days, every dimension has two poles. So like length has, you know, up and down, right? And width has right and left, right? And depth has in and out. So three dimensions have six edges. So what does Shabbos therefore represent? The center, right? Where's the center? Right? Where keep, if I want to say, you know, I want to say, you know, on this napkin, where's the center? Can anyone show it to me? You can't, because Rebbe said, I'll take that area and I'll cut it in half. Right now, where's the center? Here, no, I'll cut that in half. Right, the center is on no side whatsoever. Anyone study geometry, the center is infinitesimally small. It doesn't even exist in physical reality. And now you can understand what it means, right, that Shabbos was a matana. Matana told me actually based on Shabbos Shema. I have a big present in my treasure house and Shabbos is a present. Why is it a present? That's the seventh day of the week. No. It's the center. To have access to the center. Center is not something physical, it's something spiritual. When you've reached the center, you're not on any side. That means you're out of the box. And, you know, and where does the center reach? It touches all the different dimensions. If you could access the center, right, you are free of the three-dimensional world that we're in, right? And you can touch infinite different dimensions, right? And still not be constrained to them, right? That's the big gift of Shabbos, right? Shabbos, of course, the center is, you know, hidden within anything. The center is there, but it's hidden. Right? No one could be oimed, you know, on the actual Nekudas Americas, the actual point center. And that's what means Vayichal, God finished, right? Everything closed the circuit, right? And that's the aspect of Shabbos of Friday night, right? The weekday is, you know, it's finished. Kol melachtecha asuya. But, and that was the aspect of Shabbos before Matan Torah. This I'm quoting from a Shlokosh. Vayichal bayom hashvi, right? God finished, a sense of at least being finished because for the goyim, they're still in the rat race, right? At least you're physically done. That's the aspect of Friday night, right? You know, close the shop, right? But then there's Vayishbos, right? That the whole physical world ceases. It's come to an end, right? You're beyond, right? And says the Shulchan Aruch, that was the Shabbos of Matan Torah. When God put Torah on earth, right? So Torah used to be hidden in heaven. When he put Torah on earth, it also changed the nature of Shabbos. That Shabbos is a day of the week that you go to the dimension of Torah. You're outside of this world. This world has ceased. It's Nishbas. There's a total cessation to physicality, and you're in the realm of the spiritual. Right? And then from there you climb, and that happens Shabbos morning. And that's how Shabbos is supposed to, like, the Kedusha is supposed to go progressively more. Right? From going from Shabbos Bereishis, the Pesukim that talk about when God created Shabbos, to the Pesukim of Matan Torah, that when God revealed divinity, that changed nature of Dan. Shabbos is a day that we're out of this world. Right? And it's called that you're out of the realm of the body, you're in the world of the Neshama. Right, the Rambam had a son, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, who wrote a sefer called Sefer HaMaspik, right? The book that's enough. And he says, "Yo, I'm going to talk. You know, this book is talking about people that want to do above and beyond the Shura Sadin, above and beyond the line of the law." And he says, "I'm going to give you an example." And his example, they chose is Shabbos, right? Of course, said all Jews just don't do melacha on Shabbos. You know what that's called? That's called keeping the Shabbos with your arms and legs, right? You're not doing melacha, but where's your mind and heart? Is that someone who's on a higher level, right? So he starts thinking, you know, what's Shabbos about? God created things in 6 days. That means God is even bigger than all that stuff they created. He's the creator, he's bigger. And he starts thinking about the greatness of the creator, right? And that person already is on a much higher level than the first guy who's just not doing malacha. And then a person could think even deeper, right? And then he reaches a level, the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aram describes it, that all of a sudden he's in tremendous spiritual pleasure. His neshama is on fire. And he feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Mekayim the Pasuk, Oz Tis'anag Al Hashem. You should mamish feel pleasure from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He feels divine pleasure. And that person already doesn't see, he describes it, he doesn't see the wall in front of him because he's seeing divine things. People call him to come to the Suda, he doesn't hear them, even though, you know, the sound is banging against his eardrums. His stomach is begging for food, and he is ignoring it all, not paying attention, because he's just in tremendous feeling of spiritual ecstasy. It's a day of the neshama, where the neshama is liberated, because the physical world has been ceased, and you get out of it. And that's what Shabbos has in common with the Torah, why they're both called ner, they're both called a candle, to illuminate the darkness of this world. If you have money to buy one thing for Shabbos, what do you buy? What's halacha? What's what? You have only one thing you can buy.
Candles.
Shabbos candles. That's right. It's about or. It's about light. It's about the Shabbos candles bring spiritual light, just like the Torah is called Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. All right. A person could go 70, 80, 90 years and never have a real Shabbos in his lifetime. We have to be so careful of what the Nevi'im and what Chazal were metakin. Don't speak divrei chol b'Shabbos. Don't speak about your work, because that defeats the purpose. Shabbos is supposed to be the escape hatch. You're out of it. You're out of the work week. Right? You have one day, you're detached from it. It's come to, and if you talk about your business on Shabbos, right, you're taking the week with you, right? You're taking everything you're supposed to, you're taking it with you. You're losing the whole experience. It's not for naught. The Chazal, we all legislated against speaking about anything chulin, anything that has to do with your work week on Shabbos. You ruin the whole experience that way. Right? We have to work, we have to invest, and we have to do hachana, right, to try to invest. Right, and to really have a real Shabbos, a Shabbos of the mind and heart, a Shabbos where it's called in the Zohar, Yom HaDishmasin, it's a day of the soul. You don't feel your body, you feel your soul on Shabbos. Right? So that's what Limud HaTorah is supposed to be, and that's what Shabbos is supposed to be. And I'll tell you one more thing, and with this I'll tell a quick story, and with this we'll end, right, that even if a person will be Zochtis just once, right, you know, don't think, okay, it was just once. That just once will be with you, right, forever, and also be with you when you need it the most. Right? And with this, I'll tell a story on this. I read this from, written up by a person who gave this as a confessional to the writer, and he wanted the writer to publicize this story about the importance of Shabbos and how Shabbos will be there for you. You know, if you have a real Shabbos, it'll be there for you. And you know, the story, we'll call the protagonist Yitzchak, right, pseudonym. Right? So he read some, you know, Yeshiva Bacher. He read things about this, you know, about the Eid of Shabbos. So he tried. He really invested. No, not, you never know when it's going to hit, when you're going to have Hatzlacha, when you're going to have the Siyata Nishmai to get past the body and to get past the worries and get past, you know, as Chazal say, Lo Kol Itim Shabbos, not all times are equal. Sometimes a special time, Ace Rotzen. Right, so this kid worked, you know, he used to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, and he used to read Shir HaShirim before Shabbos came, do what he can, you know, to like feel Shabbos. And then there was just one Shabbos, when Shabbos came in, his mind blew. All the fuses went, right? Experienced a state of heightened consciousness, you know, where, what Swarm described, Moichin the Godless, superior augmented intelligence, spiritually sensitive. Sensing the spirituality in things. He had most unbelievable Shabbos. Right? What can you do? Not all special Siyata Nishmaya that he had for the time. Right? He could not duplicate the situation afterwards. Right? It was a special moment, God given. Right? Not everyone's Zoche, but if it's Kedai, just once in your life. So as the story goes, as I read it, a few years passed, and he was even seriously considering that maybe the whole thing was just an illusion. You know, maybe just imagine it and it wasn't real because he couldn't replicate the experience. And sadly, things went from, you know, bad to worse in his life. He lost his geschmack in learning, lost his taste for learning. The yeshiva experience became boring, dull, and it just went from bad to worse. He left the yeshiva. Right? He left the yeshiva and he got involved with the internet. Now, you shouldn't know that, you know, for all, you know, the wonderful milos of Israeli society, right? But there is sadly a very strong culture war, a culture kampf, right? Between the religious and the secular. And there's terrible organizations like Hillel and others that are, you know, they are missionary organizations to get guys to become secular, right? So secularize people. And, you know, they are very clever con artists And they have their ways. You know, people get on their sites and they invite them to events and they correspond with you. And they have like a particularly, they have their like knockout maneuver. Knockout maneuver is to convince a guy to go with them on a tiyul on a Friday. Not mentioning Chol Shabbos. Not mentioning, like, because a kid might not want to cross that red line. You don't mention. You say, it'll be a great trip. We go swimming, barbecue, and more. You know how it goes. You see, you rationalize. They'll probably be back by Shabbos. Right? And, of course, they're not back by Shabbos. That's where you get the kid to cross that red line. Once you get a kid to be Mechal Shabbos, Rachman Otzlan, it's over. Shem Yirachim. So, this Yitzchak, you know, he signed up for the trip, you know, with the same rationalization. I'm sure he'll be back for Shabbos. Right? And he goes, he's already dead, spiritually dead on the inside. And so he goes on this trip. And like we said, late afternoon, they make a stop. They go to a swimming hole. Right? Natural body of water, take a dip. They advertise swimming. So, he takes a dive. And a thought just went across the screen of his consciousness. This is like a kosher mikvah. Like, I'm being tevel. The covered Shabbos Kodesh. Right? And then, boom. That engine that he couldn't get started for like 3 years started roaring with all turbines blazing. Shabbos. And he felt and that experience came back in that moment. So what am I doing? Where have I fallen to? Right? And he just jumped out of the water, right? Threw on his clothes and just ran and ran and ran. Right? So he met some Jewish community, right? To spend the Shabbos there. Right? Just to teach you, right? The Shabbos will be there for you when you need it the most. Right? But you got to invest. Right? Why are our kids texting on Shabbos? Because we never gave them a flavor of Shabbos. To them, Shabbos is just fressing, right? And doing nothing that you want to do, right? So we keep our kids spiritually starved on Shabbos, so Shabbos feels like a burden. Shabbos is a day of unmitigated spiritual pleasure. But you got to invest, right? And if you invest and you put your heart and soul into Shabbos, try to think what Shabbos is, work with your mind, not just, keeping your hands and legs away from malacha. Work with your mind and connect with the Shabbos. It is the greatest pleasure. The Shabbos and Torah learning, these are two mitzvahs that are not just to do for God and you cash it in for a long time. These are two mitzvahs that are experiential. They give you light. They lighten your eyes. Right? They make you aware of spiritual music. They give you a connection to God in this world, right here and now. Right here and now. This is what breaks the Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam. These two mitzvahs are called candles. There's a third thing that's called a candle, the soul. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. These two mitzvahs cause the spiritual candle of the soul to burn bright and to shine through. Rebbe Shem should help, right? We should continue. We should do something for our own Aliyah Samishamba, right here and now. And the two resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the two major gifts that could help us bring light to ourselves, right? And better our position and better our connection to God here and now in this world is the Torah. And Shabbos, Rebbe Shem should help us. We're going to now, from now on, right? Ernie, you're in charge. From now on, right? Here in Tina, right? Right? You have your chabura, right? We're going to double. We're going to double the effort. We're going to do a lot more. You've done a lot, but it's time to do more, right? All right, to Mama Jill, make the Shabbos a Shabbos, right? And also during the week, there has to be a kvias in learning. And that with this, you can understand. I'll say it openly. What's so wrong with art scroll, right? What is so wrong? There's a special halacha by Talmud Torah, right? Of Amelos Batorah. You gotta toil. You gotta strive. That's a strange halacha, because there's no halacha of Amelos in physics or in chemistry. If you're a bright guy, you get it with minimal effort. You get it with minimal effort. You gotta work harder. It's all an issue of your intelligence. But by Torah, it's not that way. By Torah, the Rambam tells us in Perakil Hilchos Talmud Torah, if you don't work on it, you don't break your head over it, you're not gonna have a connection, because Torah is spiritual. It's not data. Right? And the Amelos Batorah is to get your soul involved. The toil awakens the soul. When the going gets tough, the soul gets going. Right? If you haven't really invested your soul in it if you are not working hard. Right? You're just working with the brain and the soul remains dormant. Rebbe Oshem should help, you know, with the schus of Talmud Torah and Shabbos. We will enliven our hearts, you know, and achieve dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we will rise and be a great nation of truly be worthy of what it says in this week's parsha, Mamlechus Kohanim the Gai Kadosh.
Amen. 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 Amen.